Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey folks, Dan Froh here. We're going to talk today, and I hate this topic, what home prices are going to do. Because the reason I'm doing this video is you're starting to see more and more and more people coming out with these videos. Housing market's going to crash. And there was a young lady visiting me this weekend. It was one of my daughter's friends, and she says, I'm looking to buy a house here in Illinois. What's your thoughts? So I'm like, okay, let's do a video in regards to this. Because you keep seeing these, all these people, it's a housing market that it's going to crash. And you see in Reddit, says, I've heard about a real estate crash since 2022. When's it going to happen? So in today's video, I want to give you all the information you need to know or decide if your market's going to crash or what does your real estate market look like. So I'm all in for comments, folks. So if you think I'm crazy when I'm talking about real estate, please let me know. Just so you guys know, my intentions aren't to talk you guys into buying a house. My intentions is just providing you with the factual information you need to make a decision. So I don't know what your market's doing. I just want to give you, or basically paint all this with a broad brush and give you some details or information you might not have otherwise known. So if you're really dissecting, you know, should you buy in your market area right now, I'd highly suggest you call out to a realtor or really do your due diligence. But in today's video, I'm going to talk to you on the broad scope of the real estate market in 2025. So let's get over to it. Here's what the market's looking like. You know, people keep saying that it's going to crash, but they don't give you any alternatives. What do you do? Put all your money under the mattress and then rent forever? Well, maybe that's not the most prudent way to do it, but here's what we're going to talk about in today. June, yeah, home prices are starting to cool. They're starting to cool finally. Okay, people have been saying this for years and years and years. Now they're truly starting to cool off. But I want to show you some information, and I got a whole bunch of information here for you guys to walk through today. Let's just go over some of the content we're going to go in. And why do we do it? Well, because it plays a role in real estate, folks. So the first thing we have is right through here. June, ICE Mortgage Monitor. Home prices continue to cool. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of ChatGPT and other data points that I ran to kind of go over these articles and give you a little more in tune with exactly what the articles are saying. But here's what we want to talk about in today's video. Here's the number of home sales. This is the culprit right now that we're seeing, folks. This is where the crash is. It's number of units. Now, we don't have home prices crashing yet. Home prices are going to start to ease. But in today's video, what I really want to explain to you guys is right through here. I want to go over the topic of what is a correction, what is a crash, what is, you know, because a lot of people come out with this data here. I want to show you to you right through here. It's, you know, the housing market's crashing, and I know I pissed off a lot of people because I put in some videos the mortgage rates are plummeting, and it ticked off a lot of people, and I apologize about that. But some of these things I just have to put out there like that because that's how I get the shock and awe factor from a lot of people. But let's go at first understand what's going on with home prices. Okay, so what I did is I just Google searched and did a bunch of documentation. I'm trying to explain to you guys what my terminology means when I say, are you overpaying? So are prices going to come down a little bit on homes? Well, maybe there's a correction in store. What is a correction? Well, I'm going to go over that with you as well. What is a crash? I'll give you my definition of a crash, And then what's 2028? What did we see in 2028 when home prices crumbled, and they crumbled almost nationally? So that's our topic mainly for this point. But what would cause a house or prices to come down in your area? Well, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. And if you guys are here and you need some feedback, or you want to, you know, talk about your environment, please pipe in if you'd like. But I want to go through here and just kind of explain to you guys what my thoughts are on all these and the whys behind it and what my thoughts are going in the future. And I want to present this with you with the data I want to provide you. And then I'm going to give you all kind of websites and things like that that you can do your own research on, because my goal here isn't to talk you into one analogy or the other. It's basically just to explain to you guys what's going on. So let's get over to it. Hey, Brandon, thanks for joining me today. 2008, LOL, I get it. So let's get over to it. Here's prices are going higher, and they've gone higher, and they've gone higher and higher and higher. Are they going to continue to do that? Well, not everywhere. Not everywhere. You're going to have prices in certain areas come down because they had too much of appreciation too fast. And I'm all in for that. But I want to explain to you guys what my thoughts are on home prices and then the terminology between a lot of these. So the first thing is, let's go through here and say lower prices. So what would lower prices mean, other than, again, it's all a terminology thing. I want to explain to you guys what I'm thinking of, you know, in returns to 2008 and what my terminology is for all these things. So here's what I'm thinking. Let's just look at this. And this is purely from AI. This is a common fear among home buyers, is prices will drop right after you buy. In reality, this usually is a short-term dip caused by seasonality, interest rates fluctuations, or minor local supply changes. It's not a crash. It's just a normal movement. So let's look at that data. For example, home bought for $500,000 in the spring might fetch $475,000 in the fall. Okay, this might also be your area. Did you move to Austin and you overpaid and you paid $500,000 and now the prices are coming down in more in line to what people pay and it's dropped a little bit. So that's what you might be seeing. Takeaway, long-term values typically recover and grow. Okay, so is this what we're seeing in today's economy? Well, let's continue to go down through it. Market correction. A healthy reset. And this is also the terminology that you hear a lot of times in the stock market. You might have saw, well, the S&P corrected. It was in correction mode, or it's in bear market mode. What do those mean? Well, in my analogy, I'm saying a correction is about a 5 or 10% drop in values. That's what I use when I'm talking equities, because if I see the, like, the S&P drop 10%, I'm saying, oh, that's a correction. Now, if they drop more than that, what would be our terminology? So here's what I'm going to look at on this one. Let's say, again, let's read what this caption comes out to be. A correction is usually defined as a 5 to 10% drop in home prices following a rapid rise. It helps restore affordability and buyer confidence without causing financial panic. So this is what we might see in a lot of markets throughout the country where people fled to during COVID because they could work remote, they could live anywhere in the whole country that they wanted to or needed to. So this is what they chose. And a lot of people moved to market areas that they didn't even see the homes. I saw it in with my own eyes. I helped a lot of people move from California to the East Coast, from, you know, the North to Florida and things like that. And they were moving all over the place. And that's what we saw. A lot of these people were buying homes. They'd fly in for the weekend, find some homes, put a bid in on it and go back. And if it didn't pan through, they're like, okay, let's just look at some of these other ones online and buy. Well, that's what a lot of people did, and I was completely against that, and it came to bite a lot of these people in the butt. But here's what happens is, after a 30% run-up, the market cools with an 8% price drop. Okay, so that could happen, especially in a lot of these robust counties and cities where you saw people moving to in hordes. Okay, the corrections are part of a healthy cycle. This also goes through with the stock market. A lot of people say, no, prices are way too high. Then you have a slight correction. Look at NVIDIA. NVIDIA, would we say, was in a correction mode, crashed, was dismal? What happened at the beginning of the year? And then all of a sudden, what happened just recently? It actually came back up to its previously highs, and it's running, continuing to run. That's what we see in there. Now, the housing crash. This is where everybody's like, oh, the housing market's crashing. It's crashing. But they hardly ever define what a crash is. So I'm going to define it here on my channel. A housing crash involves sharp and sudden price drops, typically 15 to 30%, often triggered by broad broader economic issues like recession or rapid interest rate hikes. We saw the rapid interest rate hikes, and we're on the brink of a recession because in 2023 and 2024, about 80% of CEOs predicted that we were going to go into a recession. So that's what we saw during that time. For example, let's get to this example. Folks, I didn't write these up. This was AI, and it did a fantastic job. A 25% drop in home values over 12 months. So a lot of people were telling us previously, well, it's going to take this housing cycle 3, 4, 5 years until home prices get to the lowest peak or whatever. This one's telling us that maybe a 25% example in 12 months. That is a crash, folks. This is basically, this would be my definition of a crash. It dropped 15, 20, 30% in a year. That's a crash. Okay. Did we see that anywhere? No. We're finally starting to see it in one or two areas of the economy, and I posted a video the other day, but there's nothing, there's still nothing down over 15% from peak to trough that we're seeing yet. Okay, so that's that. And now you see all these videos, is it gonna be worse than 2008? I don't know what could get worse than 2008, and you have to understand what happened in 2008. So here's what's happened in 2008. The crisis, unlike any typical crash, it was caused by toxic subprime loans, poor regulations, and financial institutions collapsing. Cities fell over 50%. And you even had cities like Vegas, 60%. 60% drop. Let's go down through here. Here's what happened during that crash. You saw Las Vegas down 62%. You saw Phoenix down 55%. Miami down 50. Riverside down 53. Detroit down 45. That's a crash, folks. Down 62% or over 50%. That's a crash. Has any markets done that yet? No, unfortunately. So I'm trying to figure out what the definition of all these people that come back and say the housing market's going to crash. What are they talking about? So that's the first piece of the puzzle. Let's go to Brandon. If you have a question for me, if you guys have any questions, please post them up here. I don't have any moderators, so please watch your language today. I meant to say 2028. Okay, no worries on that. Let's get to if you had any other. We're not that far into the future yet. Yeah, we're not. Okay, so let's get over to it. Here's another piece of this puzzle I want to show you guys. We have a lot on the agenda today. We're just going to go by component to component to component. We're going to look at housing. We're going to look at the state of the economy. We're going to look at the things the Federal Reserve does, because the biggest thing that's going to change all this, if anything, one good or bad, is going to be jobs, wages, and then what the Federal Reserve and the tariff and the big, you know, beautiful tax bill is going to do. So let's dive into some of the data that we really want to focus in on today. So the first thing we want to look at is, let's look at existing home sales. And I'm going to go all over. I'm just going to go in sequence from here just to show you there is entry points that I want to discuss with you guys. But I want to go over all these topics so you understand what's going on. But let's go over to this piece. And I got this on my agenda right here. And let's just go over this real quick. Okay, so what I did is I took this article that we first started with right through here, and I actually moved it into an AI system, and here's what that created for us. So real estate is a snapshot, and this is just basically that in its highlights. So I'm going to go over this, and then we're going to break down the components of our economy, and then we're going to also break down the pieces of our economy, sections of the nation on where, you know, home prices are going and so forth. But you're going to get a constant feed from here on what my agenda is, I think you're going to see. Okay, so let's get over to here. Overall market conditions. It's a tug of war right now. I'm going to say it's basically the housing market is in purgatory. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Nobody's buying because they're waiting for, you know, the housing market crash to finally come on that people have been predicting for 3-4 years, and we're not really seeing that yet. And they're also waiting for interest rates to come down. And there's going to be some time before we see that as well because of all the tariff news and the big, beautiful tax deal and all those other things we have coming on. But let's just go over and summarize this article. And again, all I did, and you can do this on your own, go into ChatGPT or some of these AI systems and take the data, just the URL, and plug it in and say, summarize this for me. Let me know what it's truly telling me. So that's what I did with this. So, and that's all I did. You can, you can't see it on this, but you can see it if I showed you the ChatGPT system. Okay, so here's overall market conditions. It's basically a tug of war. Up pressures, persistent low inventory, and same pent-up demand, so I can vouch for it. we have a lot of pre-approvals, and there's just people who are going out there and they're just finding dismal homes, and a lot of the homes they're finding has things that need done to them. That's the problem we're seeing in a lot of these areas. Downward activity, affordability pressures, interest rates are high, real estate taxes keep going up, and homeowners insurance keeps going up. So home prices or home payments are going to go up accordingly as well, and you're going to see that also in your rents. Okay, so you're going to see rents every year going up 5, 6, 7%. So when you're looking at a long-term goal, you have to factor that in to your financial plan. So again, folks, my agenda here isn't to talk you into home ownership. It's only to provide you the facts based on a lot of the data that we have. So I take the headlines and we go through it. Okay, so now let's get to this point. Key data points and insights. Home prices, new, nominally high. There are high. Year over year, up 6%. This is April 2024. I don't know if that's what that article had. And then month over month, it was up 4% versus March. So this data was correct in there. Okay, affordability, payments. Here's an interesting thing that they came up with. The affordability factor. How much can you afford? So we call this a lot of times what we call the debt ratio. So payment to income normally over history was about 37%. What has it been? I'm going to show you some details on that here in a second that might surprise you as well. Then we're going to go to home inventory. Active listings are up 36%, significantly increased from low base. Okay, new listings up 15%, but it's still 30% below pandemic levels. So you see, have people coming in every day telling us how much the inventory has grown. It's exponentially higher. And I'm going to show you sites to provide information or facts with all this things. So that's what we're seeing right through there. Month supply is at 3.6 months, up from 3.2. The market's usually looking for 4 to 6 months, so we still don't have that inventory that we need. And then we're going to go up through here, the market. National delinquency. We're going to go over the foreclosure rates. How bad is the foreclosure market right now? If you talk to a lot of people or see a lot of these videos, it's like, oh my God, foreclosures are going to run off a cliff here shortly. Well, if you really look at the details or the facts behind it, the national delinquency rate is 3.13, fell from March. It's below pandemic levels, indicates strong credit quality among existing homebuyers. Foreclosure starts remain low, and the impact, no signs of widespread financial distress. So that's what we're seeing through the markets. That's the headlines that we have through there. So now let's get over to the data that I really want to present you to back up all the claims that I have. So, Brandon, you got another question for me, bud?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you guys have questions, please, I'd love to answer anything you have. And if you're on the other side of this fence where you're saying that I'm completely full of it, I'd love that data as well. Your videos have been pretty informative. I'm looking to buy my first house, so any guidance is helpful. Thanks a lot, and I appreciate you joining me, Brandon. Here's what I try to do on my channel. I don't care if you buy a house. I really don't. I just want to help you understand the markets. I do the same thing with stocks. A lot of people don't understand the stock market or the bond market or cryptocurrencies. I have a channel. I do a video once a week just explaining the markets with you. I'm not a financial planner. There's no incentives in there for me. I just want to help you understand the markets. Okay, yes, I am a mortgage advisor, but I'm a mortgage advisor to help you understand the market and facilitate a mortgage or financing needs when you look to do them. I'm not out here every day saying mortgage rates are way too high, don't buy a house and things like that. Because if you've decided to buy a house, it's contradictive. I'm here to support you. So now let's get over to the details. Let's go into this. And here's the first thing. We'll go through this, and I know I just did it a little bit ago. Here's our inventory. Do you see how low this is? I can't go back. If I hit max, it just says this, but I can go back 10 years. We've never had this low of amount of homes sell, I don't think ever. And I think I have some, here it is. In the United States, 2024 experienced the lowest level of existing home sales since 1995. The sales were 4.06 million on an annual basis. This indicates the fewest homes sold ever since 1995. There's the crash, folks. There's the crash. Why didn't home prices plummet? Well, you didn't have the inventory. You didn't have the inventory like we had in 2008. That's the reason why. So let's continue to go through here. Here's the what I put on the board. What other times in history have we seen less homes sold than 2024? I'm just asking. You go down through here, it says 2024, existing home sales reached 30-year low, 4.06 million. Back in 95, specifically sales figure, 95 are not detailed in search results. The fact 2024, okay, we'll skip through that. Recent trends, home sales have been declining since the peak of the housing market in 2021, with 2024 slowing down. And then you can see the information suggests 2021 has been decreasing in home sales, with 2024 the worst in almost 3 decades. There's your housing crash, folks, but you're not going to get it into the housing prices because there's no homes for sale. You have a very limited supply and you still have this demand that people want. So as the houses kind of come to market, they get gobbled up. My next door neighbor sold in 48 hours. So that's the market that I have here in my market. You might be in Austin or some areas where it's the lag time is out there, but you have to figure out your market area and get research for your market area. My market's hot. My neighbor's, it is right next door, like right there. It sold, put on the market on Friday. They had contracts by Sunday, signed it on Monday. So within, 24 hours, 72 hours it sold. House about 10 doors down, didn't even hit the market, it sold. This is what my market is. I don't come out every day and saying, you guys have to buy because the market, the houses are only on the market for 48 hours. No, because that would be a disservice. It's not in your area. Any other questions? Let's go. Brandon, you're not the only one asking now. We also have a miracle. I get a 7.5 interest rate on a 4-unit property in New Jersey, waiting for rates to drop. You're the one, you're exactly what everybody's doing right now. Like I said, the housing market is in purgatory. Nobody's refinancing because everybody's like kind of right at between 7.5, and nobody's buying because they're like, okay, we're waiting for rates to come down. And I've been a culprit of this. I've been saying it for about a year or so. Rates should be coming down. Every time that the data comes in good, and I'm going to show you some really positive data that we have right through here. We have GDP numbers coming out. The Atlanta Fed just posted or coming out with some posted numbers on GDP. You're going to see a shock and awe on this one. You have the unemployment rate dropping, and you have the inflation dropping. So on the economic front, we have a lot of good news out there right now. So stay tuned. You're going to get your opportunity. I hope you used my Rate Watch tool. So when the rates drop to exactly where you're looking to refinance, you can lock that in. I'll give you that here in a second. So if you're out there and you own a house, I got a tool out here that you can monitor let me monitor rates for you when it comes to refinancing. So that's what we're seeing there. And then if we got another question, we have MH. If you can afford the payment at the current rate, try to buy if you can. Mortgage rates being at 2.45, not having, hey, perfect. I'd love your content here. Thanks for the feedback. Okay, so now let's get to the state of the economy because there's a lot of good information here, and this is what the Federal Reserve monitors, folks. Okay, so the Federal Reserve, they monitor right here. This is the federal funds rate. That's the only rate they monitor. What is this rate? Well, it's interbank lending. That's all it is. So if one bank at the end of the day, they need, let's say for compliance reasons, they need $1 billion in assets to be compliant, to close their books for the day. If they're short of funds, they have to go to another bank or the Fed's window to borrow money to be solvent for the night. That's the interest rate they pay. That's it. But what happens is the Federal Reserve changes this, and then what happens is banks usually kind of follow when it comes to short-term maturity loans like credit cards, car loans, personal loans, things like that. So that's why you see your credit card rates and car loans and things like that come down when the Federal Reserve cuts rates and go up when the Federal Reserve increases rates. Mortgages are tied to a bond, and it's a whole different atmosphere that you want to look at. And I'll get to that in a second. The next piece of the puzzle, let's look at the unemployment rate, because these are the things we really want to focus in on right through here. We want to look at the inflation numbers. We're going to look at the unemployment numbers, and we're going to look at GDP. And like I said, this number is going to come out here in a couple days. I think you're going to be surprised with that number. So let's dive into this a little bit. We had the unemployment rate. Here's what it is. Here's what it truly is. And now, folks, this is the U.S. Department of Labor. If you don't like this data, I don't know what to tell you. You go down through here. Here's where the jobs market is right now. April of 2025, we had an unemployment rate of 4.2. Let's go back to here. It is 2.1, or I'm sorry, 4.2, and that is active right through here, and it just dropped at the last reading. Okay, so that's fantastic news on the workforce. So unemployment rate, I'll say it's basically down to, we haven't had this low rates on the employment numbers since pre-pandemic. Look at, here's the pre-pandemic numbers all the way up through here, and I don't even know, 4.5 in December 2006. So we're still, this is basically one of the best, some of the best numbers that we've had in history. Okay, it's fact, folks. Here's it is right on the screen. Let's get over to the GDP. Now, here's what's going to shock. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, they just came out with this today, folks. And so I can see if I can show you the date. Yep, right through here. June 2nd. What's going to happen? Now, we're focusing in on this right through here. Okay, the federal funds rate, the PCE, the inflation numbers the Federal Reserve monitors. This just came in as well last week. Dropped to 2.1. See it? We can go back previously, 2.3 in March, 2.6 in February, 7.2 back in June of 2022. But here's right here. Here's a number I want to go over with you, GDP. The GDP is at a negative 0.2. So when it's a negative 0.2, this is also a huge factor when it comes to our deficit. So we need a higher GDP factor to kind of offset our overspending, I guess, as a government. Well, let's get over to the GDP. Here's what's expected, and this was just popped up on the news while I was preparing for this. GDP now. The growth rate of the real gross domestic production is a key indicator of the economic activity, but the official estimates is released with a delay. Okay, so here's delay. Here's what's expected to come out. The GDP now model estimates the real GDP growth in the second quarter of 2025 at 4.6% on June 2nd, up from 3.8. Okay, so now they're expecting the GDP to really pop. Okay, this is fantastic news, folks, and nobody's talking about this. When you have a GDP that really rallies, your deficit could be a little bit higher than norm. I don't like the deficit we have right now anyways, and you guys know how I feel about that, but this is only going to help matters. And you have a lot of data, and I'll try to post this down below in the description. But if you go through to the AtlantaFed.org, and then you can do some other research, you can find this data through here, and you can scroll down. It gives you a whole bunch of information right through there. So the GDP numbers that we're going to get here soon, they're going to start rallying as well. Let's get to one other piece of this puzzle. Now we have wage trackers, and this is another area where I posted saying wages are up over quarter over quarter, year over year, and so forth, and people are like, your data's wrong. Well, folks, I don't know where you want me to get my data. So here it is right here, Economic Policy Institute. Here's where they're saying wage growth is over the last, well, basically the last 10, 15 years. During COVID, it way spiked, and I'm going to show you other things that COVID created that a lot of people were deniers of. But here's where our wage growth is. It's about 3.8 to 4.1%. Well, if we have inflation, how it 2.1, 2.5, that we have wages nominally that are over the inflation rates. So that's also good news. Now I want to go to one other piece of this puzzle. This is our real disposable income. And the reason why I'm doing this, folks, is I love looking at the economy and a lot of things with the glass half full, but I also don't have any problems if there's a crack in that glass to let you know that there's a crack in the glass. Okay, so here's consumer disposable income. This is how much money we have extra each month. Okay. And I came back in 2019, 2020, and I did several interviews on YouTube with people that they just didn't get it. They're like, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And I want to dissect it and break it down for you. If you look at this, this is consumer disposable income over time. How much you and I have in disposable income. This is where it's been since kind of I was born. So my birthday's latter part of this week. I was born in June of 1960. I'll be 60 years old this year. And this is what we saw on our wage growth. You know, we continue to put money in the bank as we saved, got birthday money, got a raise, did this, did that. And then all of a sudden right over here, what happened? Well, let's just break that out. What would cause this huge spike, the most money people ever had in history in their bank account? Well, what happened in the latter part of 2019 through 2021 and the early parts of 2022? COVID. Then you're thinking, well, how did people have this much money? Well, let me explain it to you. If you weren't a homeowner then, maybe you didn't have student loans at that time as well, this is how it was created. Okay, so let me explain to you what happened. During COVID, I forget who came out with it, but they said if you have a loan secured by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, a home loan, you don't have to make a mortgage payment. You could just call in your servicer and say you're affected by COVID and you don't have to make any mortgage payments. Okay, that was in place for about 18 months. So a lot of these people didn't have to make mortgage payments. Well, what also happened during that time? Well, if you had a student loan, you didn't have to make a student loan payment. So if you didn't think about it, if you didn't have a house payment or didn't have a student loan payment, I'll give you my 2 cents. I'd have no bills other than a car payment for $434. That would be it. Okay, so this is how people got so much money in their bank. Okay, so what happened with this? Well, too much money chasing too few goods. This is what also happened in the housing market. We have a finite number of homes that are for sale, but you had all this money chasing these homes and pushing prices up to levels we've never seen before. So then when the house, you know, when that money started to deteriorate, here's where everybody started freaking out. They're like, oh man, we're out of money and we're not saving any more money. And then you started to get the savings rate back up. Okay, so this is, again, this is from the federal government and this is disposable income. And this anomaly right through here was during COVID. And that's what helped basically create a lot of the inflation that we had and the euphoria in the housing market. Okay, so that's what we saw there as well. Now, last but not least, let's go to foreclosures. Now, here's another area where people are saying, okay, foreclosures are really going to hit. So, because what's going to happen is this. You're going to see all these tariffs increase inflation. You're going to have consumers pulling back on everything. You're going to have the manufacturing sector just plummeting. Everybody's going to lose their jobs. And what happens when you lose your job? You get no income. Thus, you can't afford your housing payments. So, thus, you go into foreclosure. Well, kind of like that. But the unfortunate thing or the fortunate thing about right now is foreclosures are probably an all-time low. And if you go over here and say, no, Dan, you are lying again because back here in 2020, it was lower than it is today. Well, during 2020, there was actually a thing out there that was a foreclosure moratorium. You couldn't foreclose on anybody. These probably went into place because they were active previously and these people were way, way, way behind. But you take out these 2 years and you've never had foreclosures lower than you're seeing in today's market. And if you really dive into the details, you're going to see the reasons why behind it. People have an enormous amount of equity in their homes. If you go down through here, it kind of breaks these down. Lenders started foreclosure process on 253,000 properties in 2024, down 6% from 2023. It's up 174% from 2021. Well, because you weren't allowed to foreclose on people in 2021. There was a moratorium put on. So this is where a lot of people get really confused, and I can kind of take advantage of that knowledge if I wanted to, saying, look, foreclosures are up 174%. That's what a lot of people do, but they don't tell you the details behind it. So that's what you're seeing there as well. Bank repossessions, they're down. Everything is kind of down and about. Average days to complete foreclosures, here's what you're seeing. You seek through, let's see if this goes back to them, but it's still, you know, I'll say it's irrelevant at this time. If you're in foreclosure, my apologies for you, but there should be a lot of equity. If you dive into a lot of these tools and look at a lot of this information, there is a ton of equity in people's homes that they have right now. I don't know. I did have that data up here, but I wasn't able to find it just yet. So please, folks, ask any questions that you have. Do you think I'm crazy when it comes to the housing market? Do you think housing prices are going to crash? If you think the housing market is still going to crash in 2025, 2026, and what I mean by crash, dropping 10 to 15%, give me a thumbs up. If you don't think it is, give me a thumbs down. I just want to get a count of what you're thinking out there. Now, let's go back to, do you think any states are going to be worse than it was in 2008 that we saw over in this area through here? Let's see where I found that data. Let's go through here. Housing market. Let's see how bad that crash was back in 2008. Where did I have that data? No, I think it was another form that I had. There was markets down over 60%. I don't have this data here somewhere. Here it is. Right through here. You imagine a housing market down 60%. 2%. Well, let's get over to this. Let's just go into, what do you guys want me to use? Zillow, Redfin, what kind of data do you guys want me to use? Anything out there? Anybody alive out there, please?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Give me a thumbs up. Okay, let's get to housing prices over the last 3 years. Let's just see where this takes us. Average home prices there. Okay, so here's where we are. Doesn't look like a crash. Okay, so right through here. This, is it a correction? Is it just a little fix that we have right through here? What is actually going on? Okay, somebody says let's use Zillow. So let's get over to Zillow. They used to have this site, the data fields. So let's see if I can find those for you. Let's all go over to Zillow. Okay, here's where we are. We want to go down to the bottom. They always hide these things down here. We want to go to research. Research. Here's what it comes up on the main screen. Let's continue as me, I guess. I don't know. The typical home price is up 0.68 year over year. Okay, remember, folks, a crash. Is this a crash? No. Okay. So let's go down through here. There's also areas down here I want you to look at, and it is estimates. Where it used to be data. Did they get rid of it? Oh, man, did they get rid of it? Research, Zestimates, nope. That's not what I was looking for. I'm looking for, it gives us the regions, and it tells us how much home prices have moved up. Data, right here. I think that's the data field. Okay, so here's the data field I want you guys to go to. We're doing it live, folks. I'm not precursing this thing or anything. Let's go down to home values. We're going to go all the way down to the bottom and see what prices are doing throughout here. So here's what this gives us. All right, Cleveland, Ohio is taking off right now. Look at these areas. So let's go down through. Well, let's go down. You guys are here because you want to see where the markets are crashing at to get good deals. Okay, so I don't know what this says. We have right here Austin, Texas. It is down 5.13 year over year. Well, from peak to trough, it was down a little bit more than that. I actually did a video yesterday in regards to that. It was down about 11% peak to trough. Tampa's getting hit as well. But you can see these aren't down, you know, double digits yet. The one piece on Austin and some parts of Tampa showed it was down double digits, like 11% from peak to trough. But still, let's go back and see where that tells us or what, you know, what does that insinuate in when it comes to a crash, a correction? It's in correction mode. Okay, it's in correction mode. Between 5 and 10% is correction mode. From there on, what are we looking at? Well, that's what's going to time. But you don't see the majority of these things, you know, down. You're having, I basically called it. I said in the last 2-3 years, you're going to have a complete stagnant market because there's not enough sellers in the market to really cause anything. There's not enough sellers in there to bring prices down. That's what you're hoping out there. And there's, you know, there's only a handful of things you can pick. So that's what we're seeing in today's market. So that's the true and nothing but the truth when it comes to housing prices, folks. So I hope you enjoyed that video. There's really not much else to say about this. Are house prices plummeting, skyrocketing, moving, crashing? I don't know whatever words you guys want to use about it, but you can pick your own. But that's truly what's going on in the housing market, and it has been going over the last few years. So when people start telling you it's going to crash, it's going to do that, the first thing you have to have, please ask yourself is, why are they coming up with this data? Why are they doing this, and why are you watching it? If you're looking to buy a house in this market or looking to refinance, what tools do you need? Well, you're trying to figure out, you know, your market. And I don't blame you. So reach out to a realtor in your area. If you need some help with that, if you need some help with getting pre-approved and a realtor, I can help you with both those. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about what we do here at the rate update. My name is Dan Frio. I've been in this business for 37 years. I'd love to help you. I'm not here to talk you into buying a house. I'm here to make buying a house understandable to you. And if that's where you want to go or you want to be, I'd love to have a conversation with you, because I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, because I work at a federal bank. That's when I'm a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. So I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. We do have a slogan, and that slogan is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. How do we do it? Why do we do it? Well, the why do we do it is it's what you're looking for. When you're out there looking to buy your first house or maybe looking to refinance, what are you looking for when you're seeking a lender? Well, you're going to go out there and get multiple quotes. And I get this every day. Dan, I got five quotes. You know, what can you do for me now? Well, why don't, instead of you doing all that work, because you put in an application here and there and there and there, and they pulled your credit and you had to upload all your data, I wonder if I can offer you one solution where you can go to one website, put in your application one time, we're going to pull your credit one time, and we're going to give you quotes with up to 33 different lenders, or we're going to at least look at 33 different lenders' interest rates for you on the program that we need to get you approved with. That's what we do basically here. So my bank, our federally chartered bank, actually set up with 33 other lenders to help pull this off for you guys. So how do you get involved? Well, just go to therateupdate.com right through here. To put in your application, you can hit the apply now button here. You can schedule a consultation with me right through here. You can go down through here and just even click these and you're on your way. There's a whole bunch of information here on our new website, folks. So I hope you enjoy it. We also put all our social media. So I have over 3,000 videos for you to watch on YouTube. We podcast every day. So if you want to hear on podcasts, we hand chose some videos right here for you as well. And then down through here, there's a whole bunch of information to help assist you guys when it comes to home ownership or maybe trying to look for that best rate. If you're a homeowner right now, check out our Rate Watch tool. What this will offer you is you click through here. Many people, you know, when the rates dip and go down and up and down, they keep missing that drop in interest rates. If you want to, you know, not miss that the next time, check this out. What we're going to do is we'll monitor it for you. You just fill out this information right through here. It goes onto an Excel spreadsheet that I manage. Yes, that's how I do it. I manage an Excel spreadsheet. As soon as the rate hits exactly where you want it to be for your refinance, I'll make sure to give you a call, and it will be from me personally. I'll give you a call, a text, and an email, and I'd love to work with you to get lock in that rate and get you moving. So let's get over to any other questions that you guys might have. So we had one saying Zillow, got that. Let's see what we have here. Miracle. I don't think we will be crashing in New Jersey, still selling over asking prices. Anybody else out there in an area where you can give us the feedback on what your market looks like? I was talking to a young man in Washington this morning, and it was going gangbusters where he is. He said last week just seemed weird. He put his house on the market, and then everything just kind of settled in from there. And we saw that. I noticed that last week as well. I don't know if it was the Memorial Day weekend, a lot of kids getting out of school, we got graduations and things like that that have people kind of, you know, preoccupied doing something else. But that's what we're seeing as well. So thanks for that. Anybody else have any other input that we might be able to provide? You know, home buyers out there on what your market's doing right now. I'm just trying to make sense of it all. I'm looking to purchase my first house in Austin, Texas area. I know you share information, but should I consider buying or should I wait? That's completely up to you. You need to focus in on your analogy. This is a perfect example of what I get phone calls every day. And like I said, there was a young lady here this weekend. It was a friend of my daughter's. She was asking the same thing. So let me give you my tidbits on this. It's like, I'll say it's kind of like my analogy as being a dad is having kids. Okay, here's what I mean by that. It's life changing. Okay, you get into it and it's like, oh, you can't just turn it away or cash it in or whatever. It's kind of like home ownership. If you decide to buy that first house, you're not locked into that thing forever. But it's not something you just buy and then prices are going down 5%. You go, oh my goodness, I got to sell this thing and so forth. It's something that you should be looking at to live in for a long time, or at least 5, 6, 10 years. If you're not going to get into that house and stay there at least 5 years, probably not a point of buying into the market, because normally house prices normally go up single digits a year, and that's history. You know, it's about 6, 7, 8% a year is what home prices normally do. So when we have this anomaly where it comes in and, you know, Austin went up 20, 30, 50% in a year, 2 years, it can't be sustained. But you have a lot of activity going in that market. So, you know, I would honestly, I would monitor the market that you're looking into. Is it Austin proper? Is it one of the suburbs and so forth? Get pre-approved. You know, reach out to us. I'd love to get you pre-approved, and let's get you signed up with their, you know, hooked up with a realtor, and then they can help you. Hopefully nobody's putting a gun in your head that you have to buy a home. So maybe sit on the sidelines and wait for that, you know, to come. The tough thing that a lot of people are in that lease period. If you have to sign a lease for 1 year, it's like, okay, a lot of leases are going to come up. You know, they come up at the middle of the year, and then they come up about this time of year as well. So what do you do for the next year? It's tough. And unfortunately, only you can make that decision. I can help you review the numbers. I can help you kind of get associated with a realtor to understand what your market is truly doing. But nobody can really make that decision other than you. Because if you're in there for a long term, I can almost assure you, if you're there for 7, 8, 10 years, the house is going to be worth more at that point than when you bought it. But, you know, a lot of people are concerned about, I'm going to buy that house and it's going to crash in values and so forth. Has your market crashed, you know, yet? The Austin market is cracking a little bit. It's down 11% from peak to trough. Is that as far as it's going to go? Is it going to stabilize, or is it going to keep moving down? That's what you have to really pay attention to and dive into. I don't go into market areas, you know, specifically. That's for the realtors to do. My goal is to help you understand what's going on with the financing, especially, you know, what's going on with the housing market crash. Because when you go out there and you start seeing all these videos and people telling us, you know, don't buy, it's going to be worse than 2008. You really have to understand, what was 2008? What happened? Why did it happen? And you had a lot of things that were just bad. You had bad loans, bad underwriting, bad regulations, and those are all gone now. So most of those programs, if not all, are illegal at this point. Underwriting has really cracked down. So if you're getting a loan that's even similar to any, you know, less documentation loan when it comes to income, you're going to need probably 20 to 25% down as a down payment, because there is no more risky loans when it's no income, no assets, and you can go 100% financing, because that's what crashed the market back in 2008. So let's keep going to ask any more questions. Miracle, what you got, bud? Or whoever. I don't think there will be a crash. And oh, my apologies on that. How many percent you charge for closing costs? I don't charge any. I'll explain to you guys a little bit about who I am and what do I do once again. So I am a mortgage. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I grew up in West Virginia. This is my summarized version. I have a degree in economics from West Virginia University. I moved to Chicago 37, 38 years ago because I wanted to get into the stock market, the Board of Trade. I couldn't. I went to tons of interviews, and finally I had a company, one of the first mortgage brokers in the whole country, especially here in Illinois. I went and worked there. Didn't even know what a mortgage was. And that was 1989, and I've been in the business ever since. And I'm here to help people. I'm not here to talk you into, you know, buying a house. I'm not in here to, you know, just give you false information to win your business. I'm here to actually offer you advice. And that's also the reason why I do Stock Talk Tuesdays and things like that, is to help you understand the markets. And that's all I'm here for, folks. I don't sell any goods and services down below. I'm just a mortgage person. If you've decided that you want to really buy a house, I'd love to help you facilitate that. So if you've got any other questions, I would love to answer those. If you want to find out more about me and you want to find the website, there it is, theRateUpdate.com. And I'd love to help you in any way if you're looking to buy or refinance a home in this market. So that's my report for today, folks. Hope you learned something valuable today. I will be back tomorrow. We will have a Stock Talk Tuesday, and tomorrow we're going to talk about manufacturing and steel. And the reason why is it's going to be in the forefront of the news. It's also part of, if you start watching Nippon Steel getting bought by U.S. Steel, all that is right in the area that I grew up and have a lot of family members, if not most of my family members, that's where they worked. So I know a lot about the steel industry, tariffs and things like that. Love to be able to provide you more information when it comes to that for your investment needs. But again, folks, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a stock picker or chooser. All I do is help you, or the reason why I do these videos is to help you understand how to do this. Don't buy any stocks on my recommendations, because I'm not licensed, and I do this for basically entertainment and educational purposes only. So that's my report for today. I'll be back at the closing bell to let you know how this mess ends for today, unless anybody has one last thought. If you do, please, oh, we got Edwin. Let's see what Edwin has before we go. I think the market, Markets and buyers are waiting for the tariffs effects on the job market before making. I'm going to agree with you 1,000%. Like I said, I think the housing market's just in purgatory right now, and I'd be the same way. If I'm looking to refinance, I'm just holding right now, saying, okay, the market's going to pop one way or another. I think it's going to be on the downside when it comes to rates. You never know what's around the next corner. If I'm looking to buy, you really have to do your research and where you're looking to buy and which programs are available for you. And I hope you'd use my services to help you navigate that environment. So thanks for watching, folks. I will be back here at the closing bell to let you know how all this mess ends for today. And I hope you join me also tomorrow for Stock Talk Tuesday, where we're going to talk steel and other investments. And we're going to also check out our portfolio and how it's faring in 2025. So thanks for watching, folks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.